I'll fix it with God. Tomorrow, February 29th, starts the second phase of early voting in Illinois, in DuPage County. It's been going on for about a week, but it starts at several more locations. Tuesday is Super Tuesday, where the primary elections happen in 10, maybe 11 states. Candidates are vying for support. And the rallying cry across states that are having elections, who can be more religious? Who can stir up enough fear that people will vote for them? Who can make their adversaries look bad enough or inept enough so that people vote against anyone but the one demonizing everybody else? Every time we have an election, it's sad, but every time we have an election, there's this call to get back to God, and it usually is closely connected with getting back to the way things were when everyone was happy and no one was ever in danger. That time doesn't exist. Well, except in the minds of the ones who have spent generations marginalizing and exploiting other people. All the while, the ones being marginalized and exploited lived through hell. I know that's not what the definition is supposed to be, but that's getting back to God, as in, well, you know, turn the government into a branch of the Christian church and be sure the government gives no special treatment to any religion other than Christianity. Or demonize LGBT populations. Dress up bigotry with terms like religious freedom to enforce one conservative view of religion as a civil matter. Endanger transgendered people with violent rhetoric and making bathroom inspection laws. Rally for increased spending on war and call for universal education, or call universal education and healthcare too expensive. And I know that these are controversial points, and I just say them as if this is the way everyone should think, and I know that that's not true. But getting back to God isn't about marginalizing people in any way. Getting back to God disqualifies marginalizing people, or saying that the church should be the government. In our reading today, getting back to God is about this. It says, drink the water, eat the food, turn away from wickedness, receive God's mercy, experience God's unconditional love, receive God's abundant pardon. So that, who's ready to get back to God for that? Except we look at that sometimes, that whole part. Drink the water, eat the food, turn away from wickedness, receive God's mercy, experience God's unconditional love, receive God's abundant pardon, and then stop in one point where it says, turn away from wickedness. Okay, that's the one. That's the most important because, well, that's the one that we hear. Turn away from wickedness. That's where the earlier items come from. Folks love to decide what wickedness is and then try to enforce their opinions as if they were indisputable facts. Really, that's indisputable garbage. And you know, it seems like it's senseless to argue with a person who thinks that they have a corner on the truth. It's senseless to argue with someone who thinks that their opinion is equal to the facts. It's senseless to argue with someone who thinks that being a Christian makes it permissible or necessary to marginalize people who don't fit their version of the right skin color, sexual orientation, gender expression, mental or physical ability, socioeconomic status. You get the picture, right? You got to look back at Isaiah. This is an important reading. God's call doesn't say, unless they turn away from wickedness, I will destroy them. I know, we've got parts of that in the Old Testament. Remember that meta-narrative. That's not how God works. It doesn't say, look at those who don't live the way you do and tell them that they're an abomination. It says, let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You can find passages in the Bible where people disobey God and then face destruction. Remember that meta-narrative. God creates, we mess up. God creates, we mess up. God refreshes, reconciles, we mess up. Because God is not about rejection, exploitation, or domination of or by anyone. God is about one thing, and then everything that flows from that one thing. That's love. So if we're about love, we can't be about rejection, marginalization, exploitation, or dominion of or by anyone. It has to be about love. We have to be about an open invitation. We have to be about giving drink to the thirsty, feeding the hungry, helping people to experience the new life that God has in store for them. About showing mercy, about showing God's unconditional love, forgiveness. We have to be about undeniable compassion. I'm thrilled that the Solidarity Campaign kickoff was sold out. Not so that people who didn't sign up can't go, but because it really touched a nerve among people and didn't expect as many people to sign up for it. Some undeniable compassion going on there where we are in solidarity with all our neighbors. We have to be about undeniable compassion. How about as we take this beginning journey that we kind of talked about last year, but to be a wise congregation, a welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged congregation for mental health. And as we start that journey, I'll just be talking about it a little bit during sermons, and after Easter, we're going to have a few meetings where we explore it a little bit more, but we're going to be asking questions like, what is the mental health challenge that's most commonly faced in our community, in our congregation too? And what mental health programs already exist locally? How will we handle change and continue to explore difficult topics like this one? And maybe it seems like it's easy, but it's not easy to explore difficult topics. We maintain an environment of mutual respect. How, as a congregation, are we going to work to eradicate stigma around mental illness or brain disorders and to offer support to people with those issues, people who are family members of who have mental health challenges? How are we going to advocate for services for all persons with mental illnesses who are falling through the fraying safety net? Especially people in jail, people who are homeless. Those are the kinds of things that we're going to explore as we take the journey to become a wise congregation. Remember, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are one who is loved and can love, can help those in need and be helped when you are in need, can tell your story of new life and receive new life, can show mercy and receive mercy, can give and receive God's unconditional love, can forgive and be forgiven, can comfort others and be comforted with God's undeniable compassion. There is plenty of love, plenty of warmth, plenty of attention, plenty of forgiveness. It's like our Bible reading today says, there is plenty of food and water. Amen.